Chapter 1. August 1957. It started with the promise of homemade fudge. The four children, dressed in t-shirts and shorts, were sitting at the edge of the common close, shaded from a sweltering hot afternoon. Florence and Grace swapping paper scraps on the steps. Lucas and Robert were swapping some of their Batman and Superman comics. Florence had some lovely scraps. Bright-coloured, die-cut angel figures in the Victorian style. Grace had some embossed kittens in her neatly maintained scrapbook. The girls were swapping some of their doublers.
"Fresh fudge, children!"
their neighbour, Mrs. Wilson, shouted from the open bay window of her top-floor tenement flat. The lure of sweets was irresistible, and four hungry seven-year-olds gathered up their comics and scrapbooks and hurried up three flights of tenement stairs. Jeannie Wilson was a long-widowed, retired primary school teacher in her early 70s and one of the long-term residents in the street. She'd been serving up homemade fudge to the local kids for years. In recent months, Mrs. Wilson hadn't been seen much in the neighbourhood. Once, she'd been a regular sight with her two-wheeled tartan shopping trolley. Now she struggled with the tenement stairs. There had been recent complaints from the next door and downstairs neighbours about her playing piano in the wee small hours, and some families had warned their kids to stay clear of the eccentric old woman. She greeted the children warmly. The sweet, enticing smell of freshly made fudge floated towards them through the open door.
"Come in, my little angels, come in."
Mrs. Wilson, in a cardigan and housecoat, seemed overdressed for the hot weather. Lucas noticed a film of sweat on her brow. She ushered them into the living room, past an upright piano, towards a folding dining table that held a large tray of fudge. The large middle bay sash window was fully raised, a gentle breeze blowing the net curtains back into the room.
"Now, children, God has given us a beautiful, bright summer's day, and before you eat this lovely fudge, I want you to see the angels out in the sky."
"I've got angels in my scrapbook, Mrs. Wilson," said an excited Florence.
The cute little blonde-haired girl ran to the window and pressed her nose to the glass, examining the blue skies for traces of the heavenly beings.
"If you stand up on the windowsill and stare out into the glorious heavenly sky, I promise you'll see the angels."
Mrs. Wilson had placed an old footstool at the window.
"I want the little girls first, then the boys."
She helped tiny Florence up onto the ledge of the closed left-hand bay window, then Grace, then Lucas, and finally Robert. As the ledge became busier, Florence had to shuffle along towards the larger open middle window. The cool air served as a warning.
"Mrs. Wilson, that's dangerous," Lucas shouted. "You need to close that window."
"You cheeky wee devil, you won't see any angels."
Mrs. Wilson was ushering the children along to the point where Florence now stood on the ledge of the large open window. Lucas edged past Grace in an attempt to get to Florence, but before he could reach her, Mrs. Wilson pushed her out. Robert and Grace froze in terror, too petrified to move. Lucas was horrified, but knew he had to act.
"No, no, get down, Grace."
Lucas snatched at the flapping net curtain. Mrs. Wilson lunged, pushing him. He got enough purchase on the curtains with his hands to swing his foot up, making solid contact with Mrs. Wilson's mouth, knocking her over. As the curtains came away in his hands, Mrs. Wilson's shocked face and her shriek of anguish were the last things he saw and heard before he fell. The eerie sensation of no ground beneath his feet. He flailed around, trying to grab something or find a foothold in the merciless, empty air. As he hurtled towards the ground, his eyes wide open in terror took in the clear blue sky. They had been promised angels. In the nightmares that followed, Lucas fell again and again. Each dreamed descent was longer, extending the fall to an interminable duration. He felt the same sickening sensation as the ground rose to meet him, convinced that this time, surely, the fall would kill him, as it had killed her. But it never did. As he lay broken in his neighbor's garden,